Last week we read in Luke how Jesus, Luke 6, how Jesus went to the mountain to pray all night. He comes down, he calls his disciples up, he anoints them, the ones that came up. And then he leaves the mountain and he goes down into the valley of need, on a level plain, and people are clawing and clinging to him. And the topic that we're undertaking is praying on the mountain. Jesus went to a literal mountain. Moses goes to a literal mountain. We can do the same thing. The mountain, I need to back up and make this clear, I think. To ascend the mountain in prayer, first of all, is the highest conception of prayer that we can possibly have. It is the type of prayer that Jesus attained to. The mountain, for us here today, is our attitude in prayer, our thoughts. And to ascend the mountain, when you ascend the mountain, and I'm going to explain how to do that. And I know it'll be a tremendous blessing to you. If you plug into these messages, I just know that it will be. That how do we ascend the mountain? How do we practically do that? Because I talked about Teresa and myself going up Bell Rock Mountain, and Tommy posted a picture of that on the website, Bell Rock Mountain. Yes, he did. And you can look at that and see what we climbed. And as we went up higher on that mountain, the cacophony of the world, the earthly facts of the world became less and less and less until we got to a point where we didn't hear them. And when you, in prayer, ascend the mountain, the earthly facts that cling and claw for our attention, even, and I said especially, during prayer, lose their power. Their power dwindles as we ascend the mountain in our minds. And I want you to think of prayer a little bit differently than what I think it can too often degenerate into. Can I say that? That we focus and fret and fuss in our prayer over all the bad things in our life. And instead of when you ascend the mountain and you leave the power of those things, you know, I've got clinging and clawing of earthly facts. Isn't that just a great metaphor? Don't you feel that? Do they do that to you? We've had a lot of clinging and clawing of earthly facts. And our prayer time, instead of being spent on focusing on all of those things. See, that's why Jesus went to the mountain. There's a reason he did that. He went to the mountain to get away from the valley of need. He had to. We have to. Because it was when he's energized on that mountain, and when you are energized on your mountain, it's when you're then able to come back down and deal with your earthly facts. But our prayer then becomes a simple and direct reaching for every good thing that God has to give us. That's where we go with prayer. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Now, I'm reminded of Paul when he says in Romans chapter 8, he said, in the same way, the Spirit comes along to help in our weakness. What weakness, Paul? Well, he says, here's the weakness that we have, and I think it is pandemic for all people. this weakness. He says, we don't know how to pray for. We don't know how to pray, and we don't know what to pray for. Paul says, that's our weakness as humanoids. So the Holy Spirit comes alongside to help us in our weakness. Because I've been confronted with things that I don't know how to pray about it. I don't know what to say to God. And the comfort for us, you know, Dan talked about Holy Spirit bringing us hope. The hope and the comfort for us as God's people is that the type of prayer that I'm trying to get across, that the Holy Spirit's trying to get across, the type of prayer that the Holy Spirit has dropped into my imagination, this is so powerful, is a prayer that is beyond our ability to articulate. The Holy Spirit comes along to help in our weakness because we don't know how to pray or what to pray for. But the Spirit himself, Paul says, intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And he who searches the heart, the Father, God the Father, and he who searches the heart knows the Spirit's mindset because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We're talking about the highest possible conception of prayer, and I hope to unpack this. And it's a prayer that really is beyond our ability to articulate and to do and to, at times even to understand. But when we ascend the mountain, and I trust that you can do this, as you ascend the mountain, you will find something happens to you. You will find this Holy Spirit coming alongside in your weakness, just taking over your prayer. If you turn your bulletins over, please, on the back, and you look, I want you to look at the very bottom, verse, John 14:10. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Now, this is the one saying this. Listen carefully. This is the one. The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. What? This is Jesus of Nazareth, the begotten Son of God. The Father who lives in me does the speaking. See, the Spirit in you does the praying. And sometimes, for me, I just have to get out of the way. And that's where ascending the mountain comes in. Because as long as my earthly facts are clinging and clawing, do you ever find your... You know, sometimes when I'm praying, my mind wanders. Do you ever find that?
Never.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dave. But I find that happening to me. That I find my mind is wandering. I have to say, Tim, you're praying. Get back on point here. I think that's ubiquitous. I think that everybody does that. Well, how do we get around that? Well, here's Jesus himself saying, I'm not speaking. The words you hear me say, I'm not saying them. Do you think that he limited that to the articulation he did with people? He's talking also about how he prayed. How do we ascend that mountain so that those earthly facts stop clinging and clawing and vying for my attention and wanting me to use all of my prayer time focusing and fretting over every bad thing in my life? And when the enemy gets me to do that, receiving prayer is blocked. Receiving prayer for me, I'll speak for myself. When I'm fretting and focusing on everything bad, receiving prayer from God is blocked. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. Your effective asking prayer is set up by and dependent on your receiving prayer. Do you know what I mean by receiving prayer? You know, I feel like old Wilberforce in England, who just bored the socks off of the Parliament until they outlawed slavery. He just kept hammering and hammering. So maybe I'm like Wilberforce. Maybe I'm boring your socks off on this, but I'm going to keep driving this nail. I'm going to keep driving this nail on prayer because it is vital and important to having a successful prayer life and a successful experience as God's people. So how do we ascend the mountain? Look, let's go through this together. Here's John 15:7. Now we go to the top, John 15:7. I'm going to ask you to do circling. It'd be tremendously helpful for you if you do this. It is, and then you know what you could do? You could take that devotional home with you, and that can be, you can study that during the week, because I circle. Teresa looks at my Bible, and there are circles and arrows and everywhere, and it's just, it's so helpful. So here's what I want you to do. John 15:7, I want you to circle, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. Now, some of you won't circle just because I'm telling you to circle, which is what I would probably do. Okay, so I acknowledge that. And if you're not going to circle, you know, I'm with you. I get it because I'm that way. But anyway, if you're not that way, circle that. Okay, and then right above that, write ascending the mountain. This is succinctly how we ascend the mountain. How we get away from the cacophony of the lower plane, how we take ourselves away from the earthly facts that cling and claw. How? Well, it takes time. You know, when Teresa and I walked up Bell Rock Mountain, it took time. It was an effort. We had to be diligent. We had to be careful of our footing. We couldn't get distracted. Listen, when you're remaining in him and his words are remaining in you, it takes time. It takes concentration. It takes effort. Rhetorical question coming at you. How much in your week time do you spend ascending a mountain? And then you wonder, I'm bored with my faith. I'm bored with prayer. Prayer doesn't work. Well, Jesus made a promise here, but it's a conditional promise. You see the word if? If you do this, then I'll do this, Jesus says. So ascending the mountain is if you remain in me and my words remain in you. That's ascending the mountain. Then you notice there's a comma there. Okay, there's a gap. I want to talk about that gap. There's a gap, and then after the gap, he says, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. So we have a condition. We ascend the mountain. How do we do it? By remaining in him, by spending time in Scripture, by getting up in your minds on a higher level and a higher plane. Remain in Scripture. His words remain in you. You're ascending a mountain. There's a gap. Something happens. Something happens in that gap. It's charged. Whatever happens in that gap is ionic, and it's just charged. And then because of the gap, you can ask whatever you want. You can ask whatever you want. There's no equivocation there out of Jesus, and it will be done for you. When we remain in him, here's the gap. When we remain in him and his words remain in us, there's a supernatural transaction that takes place. Have you ever experienced this? You feel the ionic transaction when that happens? I do. I know you have. There's a supernatural transaction that is beyond our natural thinking and our natural seeing. That's what happens in this gap. Well, what specifically, Tim, happens in this gap? The very Spirit of the Creator Covenant God in this gap, this ionic charged gap, the very Spirit of the Creator Covenant God reveals to us, the remaining ones, the very deep thoughts of that God. That is mind-boggling. That's the gap. We know his ways. We know his wisdom. We know his mystery. We know what he's planning. You see the next verse there, 1 Corinthians 2:10? This is the gap. So I drew a circle, no, I drew an arrow from the comma between words remain in you and ask. I drew an arrow down to this verse. That's what happens in the gap. The very spirit of the Creator Covenant God reveals deep things about that God to us. Piqued your interest? But remember, this won't happen if you don't ascend the mountain. See, my prayer becomes too mercurial on my own. What's that mean, Tim? Speaking of that, mercury, you know what mercury? You know, when we were kids and a thermometer would break, we would play with the mercury on the floor because it would go here and there. Did anybody else do that? Maybe that's what's wrong with me. We would get out little things and chase the mercury around. Well, that's mercurial. Mercurial means it's here one day, 1 minute, and the next minute it's going over here and it's just willy-nilly everywhere. That's mercurial. I find my prayers, unless I ascend the mountain, are very mercurial. You know, I'm praying 1 minute, and the next minute I'm thinking about what we're going to have for dinner. Or the next minute I'm thinking about, well, I wonder if we can go down to the cabin tonight. You know, and that is mercurial praying, and I hate it when that happens. But it does happen to me, unless I ascend the mountain. You see, I've bypassed the gap. You see this? I've bypassed it. The gap is beyond me. The gap is a gift of the Spirit. Now the Spirit comes along to help in our weakness. Remember? The Spirit himself comes along to help in our weakness because we don't know how to pray or what to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. That's the gap. That's what's happening. But you have a responsibility, and so do I. This is not axiomatic. This doesn't just happen. Jesus says you have a part to play if you want to have the type of prayer that you ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. And in those moments, we discover something. In that gap, here's what we discover. We discover that something much greater than ourselves takes over. It's almost like I can feel that paraclete Holy Spirit coming down and sinking his talons into me and into you in this gap and just rapturing us up out into the heavenly realm. You see, something beyond us happens in this gap, and it's wonderful. And it's inarticulate at times. And we find in those moments when something greater than ourselves takes over, remember, you don't know how to pray as you should. You don't know how. It's a weakness. We were born into this weakness about prayer. But the Holy Spirit, the raptor Holy Spirit, the paraclete Holy Spirit comes down and does it for us. But you have to ascend the mountain. And we find in those moments when you know, it's almost like a transient state that happens to us, like we're infused, and we find that our thinking, our seeing, our imaginations, therefore what we ask for becomes permeated by this Holy Spirit, becomes saturated by it. Is this clicking? Is this making sense? Yeah? Interested? something much greater than ourselves takes over and permeates us. Look at Romans 12:2, right next on your, and here you're going to do some more drawing here. Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Circle that whole thing. Circle it. How? It's nice, Paul. How? Well, then you draw an arrow from that up to, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. There's the transformation process. And what's the purpose of remaining? So that, why do we ascend the mountain? Why do we remain? You got to sell me on this, Tim, because I'm busy. I'm on Facebook, which I have no idea what that is. Thank God I don't. So you got to sell me on this. What's in it for me? So that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. During those moments, in the gap, the ionized, charged gap, where the Spirit teaches us the deep things of God, now watch this, you have a renewal of your mind and your imagination, and you know what God wants. You see that? You know what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Because absent those times, I can't possibly know what God wants in a situation. I know what I want, but that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. What I want doesn't matter. Now you see, when Jesus makes this promise in John 15:7, what is he presupposing? He's presupposing that our remaining in him transforms our minds. You see this? He's presupposing. He is saying, in essence, look, if you remain in me and if my words remain in you, you can't help but be transformed. It's a work of the Spirit. You will be transformed. And then Paul says, Paul follows up and he says, then you're going to know. You're going to know it is a good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So here's where you draw another arrow. You're going to circle what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Circle. And then you're going to draw an arrow up to ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. Why? What happens to what you ask for? What happens? Your remaining, your transformation changes what you ask for. You see this? This is not a technique to get whatever we want. This is a technique to plug into the very mind of the Creator Covenant God and join him in his work on this earth. I think that was pretty good. Does that make sense? You see, that's what prayer was always intended to be. Paul says, you're co-creators, you're co-workers with God. You're his field, you're his building. So the reason... You see, John 15:7 creates Romans 12:2. John 15:7 creates Romans 12:2. And we know in this gap where the Spirit picks you up and raptures you up, and you know the deep thoughts of God, you find yourself in a situation that you've lost control of. You ever do that? You lose control in prayer. Because, remember, we don't know what to pray for as we should. So we need to lose control. But you won't do that unless you ascend a mountain. And you won't ascend a mountain if you aren't willing to spend the time. You're listening to someone who is willing to spend the time. No, I'm going to rephrase that. You're listening to someone who has no choice. There. Has to. What do you mean? Can't function without it. I've tried. Remaining changes what you want. Remaining makes you understand what God wants. Remaining transforms and renews your mind. Remaining permeates everything about you, and therefore you ask differently. That's what happens in this gap. And without this transformation brought about by and through remaining, we can't possibly know what God wants. Can't. And your prayers will be patently ineffective. Patently. You see, that's the experience of having the mountain experience of having that Holy Spirit teach us the very thoughts of God. That's the experience. Now, I want to pontificate about something here, a contemporary issue. I go back in my mind, clear back even almost 60 years ago. And I remember as a young boy sitting at Hilltop Church prayer meeting night. There was probably about 200 people in our church, my dad's church, but on prayer meeting night there was probably about 12. And I had to go. I didn't have a choice. You know, that was in the days when parents weren't afraid of their kids. And so I was in church. Whether I liked it or not, it didn't matter. And I think back on those times with those saints, those old saints in that little building, Hilltop Church, and all we did, all they did was pray, and my dad would give a scripture message. That's all we did. But I remember the electricity in that room. I remember that experience. And it was powerful. We visited, and it will remain unnamed, we visited a website this week, Teresa and I, of a church, local. All you got to do, you come here, you're going to be handed a cup of coffee. You're going to be escorted to a seat. You don't have to talk to anybody. You're going to be wowed. Your children are going to be wowed. It's just going to be wow. It's just going to be an experience you just are never going to forget. And we looked at the pictures. I mean, a screen as big as this back wall. You know, the lights flashing and the rock band and... You know what's happened? I'm afraid that experience has taken place of this experience. You see this? And you think, well, that's harmless, Tim. It's getting people in church. What's the matter with you? You're just jealous. No, I'm not. I'm not. But I'm afraid. You see, what could possibly eclipse the experience of the Spirit of the Creator Covenant God teaching us things? What could possibly be higher than that? Nothing is the answer. Nothing. But it's just like your diet. If you're out there eating junk food, you don't want good food. Junk food gives you a quick fix of pleasure. Do these experiences, do that. Do those glitzy experiences take the place of the Holy Spirit experience? I think it may. I think it's a danger. I think that if that's what it takes, God help us, to get people to come into church, we got a problem. Because they get charged up and they leave and they come back, and what's the next thing? What's the next thing? How's the experience now? And wow us again. I think it can do damage. I do think so. Pursuant to this, the AFR had a thing about that this week. That's not what made me think about it. But AFR had a thing about that very thing, that this kind of stuff is being a substitution for the real meat of Scripture. And therefore, it is truncating the transformation and growth of God's people. And I would have to say, I think that there's a grain of truth in that. So here we are, little Newville. No fog machine, no screen, you know, no strobe. And I've got to say to you, why are you here? I've got to say, commended, because I think that we do Scripture here. I don't think we do anything else. We do it from the children on up. We do Scripture. The Holy Spirit's goal for you is that you have that supernatural gap ionic experience of the very Spirit of the very living God teaching you the very thoughts of that God. There's the experience. There's the transformation. We don't need the trappings of the world. Wow, I sound like some old fogey, don't I? We don't need the trappings of this culture to sell this book. The minute you do that, you cheapen this book. It's like saying, well, this is nice, but it's not really enough. Okay. What happens, and I think we'll end on this, that something happens during this ionic gap experience that is really quite remarkable, which I want to take up with our topic next week. And I hope that you take these devotionals. Nate, it'll be the same exact verses next week. And you take these devotionals and you study what you circled and arrows and all of that, because you will receive a real blessing. You'll receive a real powerful Holy Spirit experience if you do this, and you will find that Jesus' promise is absolutely true. Whatever you ask will be done for you. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, rapture us into the thoughts of God. Amen.